For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to destroy and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather the stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. God has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before God. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
525,600 minutes. Many of you already know that is from the song Seasons of Love, featured in the hit Broadway musical Rent. Counting the number of minutes in one full year, the song goes on to say, 525,000 moments so dear, how do you measure? Measure a year. As this song calls one to reflect over a period of time, it's no wonder it's been heard at New Year's Eve celebrations and graduations and birthdays. The story of Rent actually follows 8 friends through the course of 1 year. They are struggling artists in New York City during the HIV/AIDS epidemic, and they go through all the seasons of life: love, hate, uncertainty, despair, laughter, success, grief, and even death. This song, written by Jonathan Larson, asks the question, how do you measure a year in the life? And answers it with another question. How about love? Measure in love. This story doesn't sound all that different from our passage today from Ecclesiastes, written over 2,300 years ago. When we read it, it seems like this poetic piece of wisdom could have been written yesterday. And so it goes with the story of life. Ecclesiastes, written by an anonymous author known simply as The Teacher, is an interesting book to read on the first day of the new year. Life, claims the teacher, is all vanity, meaningless, smoke that cannot be grasped. There is nothing new under the sun, and all humans can do is chase after the wind. We have a glimpse of time, yet we cannot know what will happen in the future, nor can we change the past. There's no point in being wise or seeking profit because there's no control over our fate. The wise may see calamity, and the foolish may find gain. And what happens when all of this endless toil is over? Well, we die. Happy New Year! But when we take a closer look at this book, we might realize that there is some deep value in it, maybe even especially on the first day of the new year. After being married to a realist for 20 years, we argue whether he is a pessimist or a realist. I don't know. I can say, though, that learning to be more realistic can be freeing. Taking a good look at the real picture of life and acknowledging its limitations, its questions, its mysteries, and even its darkness can help us evaluate life more accurately. Just because we deny the parts of life that we don't like doesn't mean they aren't there. And in our world today, don't we need to hear more of what's true? Ecclesiastes begins by saying, "All is vanity. What do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun?" This word, vanity, comes from the Hebrew word hevel and is used 37 times. Arguably the most important word in this book. Although its English translation is so hard to pin down, so we have this long list of various translations in our Bibles that include vanity, emptiness, futility, uselessness, vapor, meaningless. These words are really all different in their meaning, but I guess that's sort of the point. I gravitate toward a word one scholar uses, which is absurd. Life is absurdity, incomprehensible. We cannot grasp it or ever fully understand it. What we expect to happen sometimes doesn't happen, and surprises happen at unexpected times. At the end of the day, the teacher questions whether wisdom is even worth seeking. "What happens to the fool will happen to me also," says the teacher. "Why then have I been so very wise?" All of life is absurd. A chasing after the wind. However, chapter 3, perhaps the most well-known passage in this book, is a bit more uplifting. The teacher says that in the midst of all of this unknowing, there are some things we can know. We can count on the seasons of life. We can count on the impermanence of these seasons and the permanence of change. Life cycles around and around. It isn't linear, although we might prefer that. It's been the same for all of humans, for all of time, and will be so going forward. Think back with me over this last year, 2022. Reflect on matters in our city, in our church, in our country and world, in your life. Did we experience these seasons? A time of new life, a time of something or someone dying. A time to start something new. A time to experience the rewards at the end of your work. A time of injury or pain. A time of healing or growth. A time to tear something down that must be torn down. A time to build something better and richer and wiser. A time to grieve and cry. A time to dance and laugh. A time to go all in. A time to withdraw and rest. A time to hold on tightly. A time to surrender. A time to listen and think and study. A time to shout out loud with boldness and courage. A time to open our hearts. A time to be watchful and protective. A time to fight for what's right. A time to enjoy moments of God's peace on earth. I suppose the answer is yes. We've experienced all of these seasons to a certain degree. 2,300 years later, and there is nothing new under the sun. As we think back, we reflect on good memories, tough failures, laughter, deep grief. The song mentioned earlier asks, how do we measure the life of a woman or a man? In truths that she learned or in times that he cried? In bridges he burned? Or in the way that she died? Of course, some of these things are completely out of our control, like birth and death. While others mentioned here seem to imply some impact by human choice, the wise person might know when the right time is to make a change or move in a certain direction. However, don't get too comfortable with your wise choices, because remember, ultimately, change is the only thing we can count on. Kind of like that Texas weather. As we read further, it gets even more hopeful. It says God has made everything suitable. The NIV even calls it beautiful for its time. God has given us the business of life and created time for us. We have a sense of the past and a sense of the future, which gives us a knowledge of the passing and therefore the value of time. God wishes for us to live in the midst of whatever season we are in and to enjoy life's blessings within that season, even though that may be very difficult. But God works through it all in some mysterious way. And as the passage says, whatever God does endures forever. This is wisdom. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And so what about wisdom? Whereas in other parts of this book, seeking wisdom is folly, this passage offers reasons to seek it anyway. We seek the wisdom of trusting God. When we see that life is out of our control, it leads us to stand in awe of the Creator of the world. Even as we continue our toil, we acknowledge that our only real choice is to trust in this God. So then we ask the question, is this God absolutely trustworthy? Will God walk through all of these seasons with us? We realize that we will never understand this enigma called life. And so we are humbled to walk alongside the creator of this mystery. We seek the wisdom of embracing joy. This is a common theme of the teachers in this book, that we must enjoy the present moment because it's the only moment we have. We must eat and drink and find enjoyment in our toil. These are God's gifts to us. In the song, Seasons of Love, it suggests that we measure life in daylights and sunsets, in midnights and cups of coffee. But to experience joy, we must let go of our expectations of what life is supposed to give us. This present moment is what we have, and it's a gift from God. Although God doesn't show us the future, through the beauty of a gorgeous sunset or the hug of a friend, we catch a glimpse of the eternal. We seek the wisdom of accepting human limitation. From the book Tuesdays with Maury, author Mitch Albom rekindles a friendship with his college professor who is dying from ALS. Maury, who is full of wisdom and blessing for his friend, even in the midst of his own dying, says this to Mitch. The truth is, once you learn how to die, you learn how to live. As absurd as life is, we do see a pattern of dying and rising. In our faith, this is called the Paschal Mystery. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Richard Rohr calls this the saving pattern, because Christ is in both the rising and the dying. And so we must learn from both. He reminds us that as Westerners, we tried to delude ourselves into thinking that we can avoid the dying parts of life. We think we can create a family, a church, a country that will not have to go through the dying and rising of things. Perhaps that's the genius of Ecclesiastes. It's the reminder that we cannot fully know. And so this unknowing keeps us humble. We are reminded of our own vulnerability, our need for God and for each other. We are reminded that God is God, and we are not the center of the universe. Father Richard says it leads us as a country and as Christians to ask some important questions. What season is upon us in the United States, in Western civilization, even in Christianity? Will we have the wisdom to recognize the changes that are needed and move forward into whatever season is next? As Christmas people, we also seek the wisdom of Jesus. Since Jesus experienced all the seasons of life, we know that all of them are filled with love. He was born and he died. He wept over the death of a dear friend. He patiently worked for the message of his creator with many turning away. But he also saw many come to God's love. He was torn down by the people in his own hometown, and yet he was starting this revolutionary movement alongside new friends. He took the time to listen intently, but he also spoke boldly and courageously. He experienced joy and laughter. He had deep friendships, and he knew he was deeply loved. We can imagine he marveled at sunsets and instead of cups of coffee, enjoyed glasses of wine. His life was full of seasons, and all of them were bathed in the love of God. The season of Christmas celebrates Emmanuel, God with us, God who lived the ups and downs of life and so went through all of our seasons, so our seasons are also bathed in love. The wise one will accept and even embrace the seasons to come in this new year as a part of the mystery of faith, the enigma of life with the divine. It's interesting to note that in the teacher's listing out of the seasons, there's no particular order that gives any one particular season more importance than another one. However, there's this one thing. The seasons do not begin with death, nor do they end with war. Birth and peace get the first and the last word. And so, teacher in Ecclesiastes, what say you? As we ring in 2023, what do we take from your meaningless vanity, your hevel, your smoke and wind? Well, we take wisdom. Even if you aren't always clear that it's something worth taking, and even if we know we're never going to fully grasp it, we still take what we can. We take the wisdom of trust. We take the wisdom of joy. We take the wisdom that when we look death squarely in the eye, we also see a glimpse of what will rise again. Because the wisdom of Jesus teaches us that all our moments, past, present, and future, everything is measured in love. Amen.